100 Black Men of Long Beach is an important service organization in the city. Their annual gala is in April. We spoke with two of their leaders to learn more about the organization.
Speaking with Mike Asphalt and Darnell Smith of the Committee of 100 Black Men of Long Beach. How are you, gentlemen?
Fine, thank you. Fine.
Fine, thank you.
So let's start off with the who and what is the Committee of 100 Black Men?
Well, you know, the 100 Black Men started in 1963 in New York. The group of African-American men who were concerned about improving the conditions in their community. And some of these members are still with us today. Some of them you may know. David Dinkins, Dr. Bill Haling, who Dr. Haling will be at our gala. He's scheduled to be at our gala this year in 2011. The famed past baseball player Jackie Robinson, just to name a few of them. This was all about the concern that the African-American communities and other minorities were not getting their fair playing field.
Tell us why you two both got involved. So let's start with you, Darnell.
Well, my involvement came about was to bring a change in the community, an environment where men of color would have a chance to help build a structure that would change the policies and the programs in the community, such as a health system where they would have a regular place to go to help reduce childhood obesity and reducing the violence that would develop over time, and to help improve attendance and school performance by the young men of color.
Well, my reason was because the violence, it actually came about at the same time when the young man from Vietnam, he was from Vietnam, had come back from Iran and was shot. And I was part of Leadership Long Beach at that time. That we created the leadership program of 41 hours of Enough is Enough.
That's right. That's right.
And that was a successful program. But at the same time, the African-American community in Long Beach itself was having problems with their own gang and racial issues.
Right.
And fortunately, it was another vehicle for me to be able to lend my voice to some of the things that were going on where the African-American community in Central Long Beach and North Long Beach weren't being addressed. And that's where the 100 Black Men, for me, was a way of getting involved.
Let me ask you both, and again, we'll just sort of hip-hop between the two of you guys. Darnell, what do you think are the major challenges facing men of color in Long Beach today?
The thing that I think that's mostly importantly that affects the men of color in the community is the economic opportunities.
Right.
That is one of the greatest challenges throughout the land, but especially in a diverse community where they have now classified things as low-income areas. So low-income areas could meaning that it could be not only just Hispanic, blacks, or Cambodians, or the whites. That's all gathered in there, and that's how they are doing programs now based on low-income areas. So that would eliminate the possibilities specifically for the African-American man if they are looking for, say, employment based on low-income areas.
Right.
So the African-American man is eliminated because it's based on the percentage.
Right.
If there's 50% of Hispanic men unemployed and 9% black, then most of the jobs are going to be afforded to the Hispanic community.
So it's about really making sure that there's some level fit playing field, as you said earlier.
That would be correct. Sorry.
Yeah. How about you, Mike? What do you think are some of the other major challenges?
Well, Long Beach is that bedroom community that doesn't like to be rocked. And, you know, we have to be very straightforward with things, you know, in this 2010 going into 2011.
Yeah.
There still is racism going on, as subtle as it may be.
Right.
It affects the African-American community.
Right.
And it affects it to the point where jobs aren't readily available. Mm-hmm. And as Darnell so put it, if one area of the city has more of one ethnic background
mm-hmm.
living in there, and they are considered low income, that ethnic group gets the jobs, where the level of playing field is no longer there.
Right.
Now, saying that, the overall city puts a smile that we're all one city, one family, but yet the one city is not looking across that playing field to say that we need to make sure that we move those folk who are considered low income into positions for jobs, making sure that their jobs available.
Right.
Because that's the thing that's going to move the economy. If there's jobs, then they're going to spend money. You know, more money means better housing.
Right.
More housing, better housing, and more money gives you the affordability to get health insurance.
Right.
Now, without those things there, which we know within the Central District, within the North District, those are those two primary driven areas that we're fighting those problems. Has the city taken care of them? Leaves a lot to be questioned.
For those folks who want to start their own businesses, small businesses and whatnot, that's always for many people, you know, a road, a path out of poverty, or not even just poverty, but out of, you know, their lives, the bad, you know, the unlucky lives sometimes. How do you see that playing in terms of small business development? Is that something that's happening or still has to happen? Is that a challenge, I guess, is the question I'm asking.
I'm going to let Darnell answer that because Darnell is our economic development chairman, and he currently is, you know, formulating some programs that he's going to address those issues.
Well, Antonio, I guess I get excited about the possibilities of the challenges that face the community because of the fact that there are programs I just think a lot of people are not suited when they go to the programs.
Right.
Like a lot of people are not familiar with credit ratings and banking systems, small business applications and things of that culture.
Right.
So what has to take place is in order for an entrepreneur to be successful, a small business, they have to become financial literate.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, when you have an encompass of all these ingredients of knowing what the system is asking you for, you have a better chance at surviving or being successful. My goal, we're planning a financial literacy program either next month or the following month, gathering all the small business, those that will attend. We'll send the invitation out for those that will attend. We will address these issues. Maybe somebody doesn't know about a good tax advantage program, or they don't have a good tax person, or they don't know that they can give benefits to employees without their business suffering, where they have an opportunity to hire more people to get more production done in their business.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the whole key to anybody surviving in business, of course, the economy has to be good, but just to survive and be successful, you need to arm yourself with the education that's needed and knowing where to go to equip yourself with the weapons needed to survive in a recession.
You spoke, Mike, about one subject which is very close to me, which is this whole issue of violence in our communities. And I know that in the last day or so, there have been a couple of articles talking about, you know, where, you know, all the most of the murders in 2010 were. And obviously there were in areas that you would think they would be in, where there's a lot of gangs and whatnot. Are you optimistic, both of you, this question, but are you optimistic that if we had more job opportunities, if we had more resources, more education, more hope, if people felt that there was a way out of hopelessness, that actually that's the solution to the problem, you know? Maybe I'm being overly naive, but are you optimistic that we can move in ways to deal with this whole issue of hopelessness and violence with these kinds of the programs you guys just talked about, the economic development, the housing, and more jobs and things like that? Is that the solution, I guess, is the question.
Well, jobs are going to always be a solution. It's the jobs now that are going to be sustainable, that can sustain a family.
Yeah.
You know, we've got jobs on the low end, and people are just working them to survive, to say they've got a job.
Right.
Now we're looking for jobs that are going to take us into the foreseeable future, the green jobs, the jobs that are going to be educate people to use the solar power to help heat their homes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those type of jobs need to be coming into the area to help put these young men that don't see, you know, their future, or as you would say, the hopelessness. We need to be able to educate them on that. For instance, we have every year the Long Beach Toyota Grand Prix. We don't have a Toyota factory or Toyota Manufacturing Academy to help teach these young men how to fix these cars.
Right.
We're bringing in, you know, certified mechanics from other areas of the county,
right,
to come into here to help work on them. But our people are expected to buy these cars.
Right.
You know, so I'm saying, you know, Toyota could help.
Right.
We
right.
need to be able to have the communities at large, you know, give these young men jobs to work, for instance, on the expansion of Long Beach Airport. You know, you're bringing in individuals from other areas to work on this. You know, so we need sustainable jobs. You know, that helps alleviate some of the hopelessness that these families are feeling. You know, just not say, okay, you've got a job at McDonald's, and at the end of 40 hours, which McDonald's doesn't give you a 40-hour week, you know, that you can go home with a paycheck that's going to take care of your family.
Right.
So, you know, the sense of hopelessness is magnified by the fact that we're not growing jobs within the city of Long Beach.
Which was part of the discussion last week at the city council meeting, and you're right, that's something that really needs to be addressed if we're going to have any progress in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Just the last question. If someone wants to get involved or to find out more about the committee, how can they do so?
The 100 Black Men? Well, we meet the last Wednesday of the month at Roscoe's House of Chicken and Waffle.
That's on Broadway in Alamitos.
And the meeting starts at 6:30. There is dues, yearly dues, that have to be paid, currently
right.
$335. That can be broken down into a payment plan. At the same time, we have each male that, you know, would like to join the organization is given a live scan because of the fact that you have to deal with young boys, young men, and we want...
That's if they're going to deal with the mentoring program.
Programs, that is correct.
That's what they need because of the fact of pedophiles and things of that nature.
Right.
You know, so
right.
Also, there's a website that they can go to, and I believe we have the applications on
online.
The website.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you gentlemen again for taking the time, Darnell Smith and Mike Asphalt, for Committee of 100 Black Men in Long Beach. And I know you've got a gala coming up in April. As we get closer to that gala, when is it? April
23rd. At
23rd. As we get closer to that gala, we'll go ahead and do another interview just speaking about the gala itself to promote it a lot better than 4 months out. But again, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me.
Thank you very much for having us.
Their website again is www.100blackmenlbc.com. Their annual Benefits Awards Gala is Saturday, April 23rd, 2011.